song before we sing it. The writer and the lead singer of this song, his name is Chandler Moore. And before he went into the studio to record this song and sing this song, his apartment caught fire. He was not there, but he lost everything. And 4 days later, he came into the studio to sing the song and record it. And the name of the song is Jireh, which we know means that God is our provider. And so that situation that he had to deal with was a testimony in that situation that he faced, that in his situation and in the situation that we all face in life, God is our Lord, is our provider, and he's always going to make a way where there is no way.
Sees our needs and doth provide. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles to Genesis 13. If you remember last week, I started a two-part message that I've entitled Lessons from the Life of Lot. This is part two that we'll look at this morning. I want you to remember that all of the Old Testament lives of men and women were given to us as examples unto us. Many of them are good. None of them are perfect. Some of them are even bad examples to us. And the life of Lot in Genesis is one of those bad examples that we should not live our lives patterned after. We're to learn from his mistakes. In 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8, it speaks of Lot and says that he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, the filthy behavior of the wicked. For that righteous man confuses some, but righteous in position. How many of you are righteous in position today? All right, I'm asking if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're saved, all right? You are positionally in Christ. You are righteous. How many of you are righteous today in practice? Could be a thing. Let's be careful. Hopefully we can come in and have our sins confessed and forgiven. And at that moment we are, but it don't take long before we're struggling and need to repent and confess again. But that's in practice. Here, this righteous man in position, this righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds. I taught you our sanctification verse. What is it? There's a few of you I hear from. The rest of you, what's wrong? We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the mirror of God's word, for to behold the glory of the Lord, we're changed in the same image from glory to glory, more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, even by the work of the Holy Spirit, and as he takes the word of God and does that. Well, that's a general progressiveness to be more and more like Christ. He vexed his soul from day to day in the opposite direction. He had his eyes on things that were not the glory of the Lord. He had his eyes on things that was the debauchery of mankind. And in doing that, it vexed his positional righteousness in his life to where his practical walk with the Lord was completely out of line. And we don't want that, and we should not. Lot took a series of small steps that led him closer to a dangerous moral situation in his life that we have investigated some, and it eventually led to the ruin of his life and the ruin of his family, even to many generations later. What are these timeless truths that we learn from the life of Lot? As we look at these lessons, I pray that you would understand them and not just check off that you've been here today, but leave out of here with a greater understanding of what he did that teaches us what we should do in our lives. Father, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, that you would allow us through your Holy Spirit's guiding me to teach and preach to each one of us as we hear, that we may understand the truth, that we may not only just leave out of here with an understanding, but Lord, with a submission that we want to live our life for you. May we make the choices, the decisions today to follow you correctly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to remember the background here in chapter 13 of Genesis. Abram, which later his name was changed to Abraham. Abram and Lot were traveling together. They had a lot of possessions, a great amount of possessions between the two of them. In verse 7 of chapter 13, it tells that there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. And just too much to get to the water holes and the feeding pastures and all. And so Abraham said, "Let's split. Whichever way you go, I'll go the opposite direction." Lot looked in verse 10 at the well-watered Jordan Valley, and he looked back at the mountains, and he said, "You know, I think I'll take the Jordan Valley." He lusted, he chose him that area in verse 11, and in verse 12 he leaned. He said he pitched his tent towards Sodom, that wicked city. He had a reason behind it. We'll see a little bit in his reasoning in just a minute, I'm sure. Next thing we find and read about is in chapter 19. We read that he is laboring in Sodom. He is one of the judges that sat at the gate, that decisions were brought for him to make. He was living not in the plain anymore, pitching his tent toward Sodom. He was actually living in Sodom at that time. He had loosened his standards to the point that he was willing to give up his own daughters to those wicked men outside his door. He lost his testimony with his sons-in-law when he tried to warn them what God said he was going to do in destroying the city. And they pretty much laughed him to scorn, and I can imagine him saying something like, "Well, Lot, since when has God been speaking to you?" And it burdens my heart, men, parents at all, but especially us fathers, that we would try to say something to our family spiritually wise, and they would have the same type of comeback. Since when have you been serious about following the Lord? Since when have you been reading your Bible and seeking to know what God wants for you? Since when have you been speaking to the Lord and on terms of speaking with Him? What a testimony that would be poor, that would be lost of the gain that we could have with our family. He lost his testimony with his sons-in-law. He lingered there to the point where the angels that God had sent to tell him and warn him had to take him by the hand and actually lead them, drag them pretty much out of the city. He lost his wife, as the angels told him, "Don't even look back, lest God would judge you." And she looked back, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. Testimony of God's judgment because of desiring that which she was leaving so much. He lost his daughters, as we read at the end of chapter 19, with the incest sin that was going on and what that produced. There are so many things of the background of what we see, and from that we begin to develop some truths, lessons that we can learn. And the first one, if you remember, was that your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Your direction, not your intention. Every step that Lot took in the progression that led him towards Sodom and what ruined his life and the life of his family, every step that he took, he would have had good intentions. He would have had good reasoning. Again, we'll see that in just a moment. I came across this story that I found quite a few years ago, and I thought, it's entitled Good Intentions. So this goes right along with what we're talking about. It said a businessman was scheduled for a very important meeting that required him to take a late night train to his destination. Knowing he would most certainly be asleep when the train came to a stop, he spoke to one of the attendants and requested his help. He said, "I have a most important meeting, the most important meeting of my life in the morning, and I cannot afford to miss it. When the train pulls into Chattanooga at 2 a.m., wake me up and help me off the train. I will be grumpy and beg for sleep, but do whatever it takes to get me off of this train." The next morning, when the man woke, he was still on the train and had missed his stop. He became livid and raged all over the porter who had supposed to assist him off of the train in the middle of the night. When the irate passenger disembarked the train, a passenger who had witnessed the harsh words tried to console the attendant. He said, "In all of my life, I have never seen anybody so upset." The porter replied, "Well, that ain't nothing. You should have seen the guy I threw off of the train at 2 a.m. in Chattanooga." I'm sure that porter had good intentions to help this guy. But you know, our intentions, as good as they may not be the correct things for us to do. It may not lead to the outcome that we expected. And Lot was one of them. His intentions did not determine his destination, but it was his direction, his choices that he made. What path are you on today by the choices, by the direction that you have in your life? Where are you headed with that? Our direction should be guided by God, by our commander-in-chief. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Each one of us, when we get saved, we enter into this spiritual battle, that warfare that's going on. We have a commander in chief, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day that we ought to wake up and we ought to report to our commander and say, "Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. Help me to be what I should be, to do what I should do in order to please you." That should be the way that we report unto him. Our direction should be guided by our commander, not just by our good intentions, what we think we should do, etc. I shared this past Wednesday night in our devotional, just briefly, a couple of verses I wanted to remind you of. One is in our theme verse here, and it's sister verse that I'll share first. The sister verse is in Psalm 27:11, where it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. That's a prayer. That's an urgent prayer that should be prayed. The second one is our theme verse, Psalm 86:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth." It is a proper response to what God leads and guides. The first one, "Lord, teach me your way and lead me in that way." And the second one is, "Teach me your way, because I'm already submitting myself to follow it." That should be our response, and both are necessary. We can't follow God's way if we don't know what God's way is. And God's way, the majority of it, is revealed right here in his scripture. We have the will of God for our lives. We have the direction of God that we're to follow. And we're to do that, both learning God's way and surrendering to walk in that way. I hope that you meet with the Lord on a daily basis, and that you seek to learn more and more what his word says to us. For there's not a single person in this room, including myself, that understands completely what God has said to us. We're still learning. We're still to be laboring for that understanding. And to do that, then, once God gives us what understanding that we have, we need to be willing to submit to obey it. Just having knowledge does not give you God's direction. It's the following of that direction, the following of that knowledge that he reveals, that's so important. So we sing the song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." That should be our heart surrendered to him. So your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Secondly, we saw that what you set your eyes on, you begin to value. He did in verse 10, as he lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, how it was well watered, etc. And so we have here this principle that what we set our eyes on, we begin to value. Lot couldn't get his eyes past what he saw because what his eyes saw, he began to say, "Hey, that's the most important, that's the most valuable." And what he valued, then he began to desire. "That's what I desire." And so when he saw that particular area and saw the mountains back here and what it had to offer, he said, "I think I value this more, and I desire this more." And therefore his choices followed his desires. What he valued and what he desired, he began to choose to follow in that direction. Therefore, we saw that God warned us in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep or guard your heart. Our heart, what is it? Well, it's not this thing that pumps right in here that we talk about. Our heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, the scripture says, so is he. It has to do with our mind. It's more than our mind, but certainly includes our thoughts, our processing. And so we are to guard what comes into our mind. One of the greatest gates to our mind is our eye gate, the things that we see, because it affects what we value, and that value affects what we desire, and our desires then control our choices. So we need to guard what comes in that affects all of that, that trickles down to the choices that we make. So these are the truths that we have seen so far. Now, the third one that we are yet to see for today, the next truth here is sin never has your best interest at heart. Oh, duh. Okay. Sin never has your best interest at heart. Lot felt justified making decisions to pitch his tent towards Sodom. What could have been his thinking? We don't have it given out to us per se here. But let's just read between the lines here a little bit and start to reason. All right, Lot's going to have, he's got a lot of herds. He's got a lot of animals. He not just wanted the well-watered plains of Jordan in order to feed them and to water them and take care of them, but there are also cities down there. And if he's going to take any to market, it sure would be a lot easier than coming all the way from the mountain region. He could just come right from the valley here. And then, you know, it really would be easier if I moved a little closer to the cities here so that when I take them in to trade, and it's just not as much work on me to do that. And so again, the reasonings that come along. Do you know that every bad decision that we have ever made, we talked ourselves into making it? Let that sink in just for a moment. Every bad decision that you ever made, you talked yourself into doing it. Maybe it was some advice somebody gave you and you decided, you talked yourself into listening to it. Maybe it's something that you just thought of yourself and you thought, you know, it seems to me that this would be the best thing to do. And you talked yourself into it only to wake up one day later and say, hey, hindsight, that wasn't a good idea. That hurt. We can make decisions based on our reasonings that can still get us into a lot of trouble. That's why we need not to rely upon our own understandings. Isn't there a verse that speaks of something about that? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And so it is God's direction of our path that's going to be the best. It's God's then direction of our path that we should desire. And we should not trust our own reasoning to determine what that is. But we are to seek God's direction and God's leading in those choices. Our reasoning can be faulty, and we need to make sure it's his. Understand that the devil is a deceiver. Okay? He has been from the beginning. He will be into the end. He doesn't try to hide it. It's out there. Anybody looking at Scripture can see it very plainly. He's described that way. Sin is deceptive in itself. There seems to be pleasure in sin for a season, for a little while. I look at it, sin looks pretty good. But remember, sin never has your best interest in mind, neither does the devil. The devil is a deceiver, sin is deceptive. Even in Jeremiah 17:9, it says that our own heart cannot be trusted. Well, we got a lot of strikes against us, don't we? So we need so much more desperately God that leads us and guides us each step of the way. That's why we need him. Sin never has your best interest at heart. Number four, if you find yourself living in Sodom, if you find yourself like Lot living in Sodom, run. Run. Chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. verses 16 and 17. It says, and while he lingered, and this is the angels have already contacted Lot and told him God is going to destroy Sodom and these cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and he needed to get his family and get out as quickly as possible. He's lingering. It says he lingered. And while he lingered, the man, that is one of the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without or outside the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape. This is the angel saying, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay in thou in the plain. Escape into the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Escape for thy life. What does that mean? Run. That's exactly what it means. We are to get away speedily. We are to run. We're not to wait. We're not to reason. We're not to think. We're not to excuse something. We're not to do any of that. We are just to get ourselves out of that situation. Get out as fast as you can. Have any of you been in a bad situation? I think most of us would have to admit, when we really think about it and see what falls into that category. Maybe it's a work situation where ethics has left the building. I feel for some people that are in a job situation where, well, for instance, there's one man that I know of that was in a car repair shop, and the car repair shop sent him to school. That sounds like a good thing. Sent him to school to figure out and to learn how to sell people parts and work that they did not need. Ethics had left the building. He decided that he was needing to leave the building too. Thank the Lord. I take my car to him all the time. And it takes me three times as long to drive to him as where I had been. But I would honor those that honor the Lord and the right. And so sometimes you can find yourself in a work situation where they're asking you to do underhanded things. They're asking you to do things that you know God would say that is wrong, that is sin. You're in a bad situation. It may be time to run, to get away from that you're in. Maybe you're single. We have this, surprisingly, of so much that happens this way. But you may be single, yet living in a sexual relationship that you know is sin, or what God says about it. I'm surprised at how many young people that claim to be saved, yet have no qualms about being involved in that. Would they argue and say that it's really not sin? Only if they don't know God's word at all. Would they argue and try to say, well, you know, we're living in 2024. Everybody does it. Really? Do we know that it is sin? If you're in that kind of relationship, run. Run. Get out of the house. Don't be living in that relationship that way. How can you ever expect God to bless that which has stemmed from such rebellious sin? Maybe you got involved in a habit. I'm not talking about a good habit. But maybe you got involved in a bad habit, and now it's leaning toward being an addiction. Run. Get help if you need it, and most of the time you do. Addictions are not easy to be overcome. You know, one of the things that I hear so often somebody that has an addiction say, I can stop anytime I want. Duh. That's the very much problem. Because with an addiction, your body is never going to want to. Never. Your mind may be saying, I need to quit this. Your mind may be saying, I need to get out of this situation. But your body will say, not now. You can do it later. I had one person tell me, Pastor, I know that what I'm doing is wrong. And yet I still get in my car and I go right down there to buy it with tears running down my face, knowing that what I'm doing is wrong and I can't stop. An addiction. I've used illustrations before with just some sewing thread. You come up and you put sewing thread around your arms a little bit here. Just a little bit of habit. I mean, you can break that, you know, it may affect you a little bit, but you let that habit continue and continue. And before long, that addiction is something that you can't break, not by yourself. You need help. Please understand that whether it's you or whether it's someone you love, understand what that is and help them to run, to get away. When you find yourself in living in Sodom, run. Some examples that we have in Scripture, you remember Joseph sold into slavery in Egypt by his brothers. God honored him and raised him up in Potiphar's house to be the number one person in leadership in Potiphar's house. And you remember how that Potiphar's wife set her eyes upon him to seduce him. And when she did, what did he do? He ran, literally ran to get away. We must do the same. 1 Corinthians 6:18, a little verse just says, flee fornication. Simple. Flee, run from fornication. It's in the present tense. That means keep on running until the danger is past. Don't stop. Get away from it. John MacArthur wrote this. He says, when we are in danger of such immorality, we should not argue or debate or explain or even certainly should not try to rationalize. That's what we talked about earlier in reasoning. We are not to consider it a spiritual challenge to be met, but a spiritual trap to be escaped. We should get away as fast as we can. Lot justified and rationalized his dangers, his decisions that led that direction. He did it for years. He still ran at the end, but it was too late. He lost so much, if not everything. Don't wait till you start to lose your job or your family or your friends before you run from the dangers that are there. Sin never has your best interest. And if you find yourself living in sin, living in Sodom, run. And then the last one this morning is your choices will directly impact those you love, including even generations to come. Your choices, not your intentions, but it's the direction that you're headed, the choices that you make determines where you're going to come out at. And it's those choices where you come out at that's going to affect those that we love. And sometimes that effect will last for many generations. The bad things that happened to Lot in the progression was not the end of the story, as I told you. Chapter 19, at the very end, the incest between his two daughters and himself. They got him drunk. I laid with him, produced two offsprings. In verse 37, the firstborn, she had a son named Moab. From him, the Moabites have come. The younger one also had one that named him Ben-Ammi. The Ammonites stem from that. Both of these groups, these tribes, were at war with the Israelites for centuries. And even in the Middle East conflict today, their descendants are involved. Losses. Failures. Outcome that was not intended. It was never his intention to lose his family. It was never his intention for his wife to be a pillar of salt. It was never his intentions for his offspring through incest to end up being the enemies of the people of Israel for all of this time. But it is not your intentions. But it's what you lay your eyes on and you justify and you choose that leads you in the wrong direction. And the outcome that comes. Your choices never just affect you. They always affect those that you love, even for generations. So I remind you of these lessons this morning. Your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Those choices. What you set your eyes on, you begin to value. You begin to desire. And sin never has its best interest at heart for you. And if you are living in that sin, if you're living in Sodom, then run. That's what you find yourself going on. Don't wait. Don't justify. Don't reason. Don't explain. Don't say, I know it's wrong, but you just blew it. I know it's wrong, but you don't understand. I know it's wrong, but whatever is not an acceptable excuse. I know it's wrong, period. God help me to quit doing what's wrong and to start doing what's right. If you're in Sodom, run. And then finally, your choices will directly impact those that you love. How are you doing when it comes to these principles? How are you doing when it comes to these lessons that we learn from the life of Lot? Lot's choices eroded his walk with God to the point that it was a disaster. Don't follow him. Don't let that be said of you. Don't let it be true of you. And remember that Abram's choices came after a second chance. Remember last week I told you that he had made a wrong decision after he had followed God by faith to walk where God was going to lead him to this promised land. And then famine came and he decided, hey, I think I can make it better down in Egypt. And so instead of staying where he was and trusting the Lord, he looked to his own regards and he went down to Egypt. And God brought him back. And he came back into Bethel, the house of God, to the place there at Luz, the place where he built the altar at the first, his commune with God. It's when he got back with God and began to commune with God that God blessed Abram so greatly and became Abraham, the father of a great nation. After a second chance, and God can do the same with you right now today. If you're willing to say, Lord, I relinquish my desires, my direction, and I want to report to you each day, and I want you to give me and guide me with your way. And this morning, Lord, before you honestly, I submit that I will walk in that way. That should be our heart desire. But Remember, you've got to make that choice. Proverbs 22:3, as I shared with you, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on unpunished. A prudent man, a wise man, hears these principles, these lessons that we learn, and he says, you know, I need to follow that. And he takes the precautions. The unwise, the foolish, they disregard because they think, well, you know, that happened a lot, but that's not going to happen to me. I can handle it. I don't believe that it's going to be that way with me. And the problem with that statement is revealed in those first words. I don't believe. Do you believe God in His Word today? Or are you listening to someone that would try to tell you not to believe today? He is the deceiver, and He does not have your best interest in mind. The choice is yours. What have you decided? We're going to sing that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Is that your choice today? Have you surrendered to follow the Lord? Whatever He directs. Father, I pray that You would help us to be honest with ourselves right now. You know our hearts exactly. You know our life inside out. Everything that has even come to our minds during this message, You know every thought. And I pray that You would help us to be honest with ourselves, to admit where we are. And Lord, if that is not in line with what You desire for us today, may we make the choice to abandon our sin and to follow Your direction. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all.